2, happy hour, happy Friday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Harahawk, and Drew Duffney hanging out with us on a Friday, which doesn't traditionally happen, but...
Is this his first time on...
I don't think it's his first time on WMIC, no. No, I don't think it is. I think it was like one other time.
Well, if it is, welcome to FM radio.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Father John from the Blarney Hour told me that I had to clean up my act, so I wanted to come sit in on a radio show that was a little more conforming and a lot less edgy.
Yeah.
It's not Father John I worry about. It's the program director here, man.
He's like, I'm your father now.
We call him a PD, which stands for political dictator.
Wow, we're going to start off the show by us needing to put Eddie on the apology list. That's impressive.
Hi,
way to go, guys.
Oh, Eddie's the program director. See, I'm used to you being the program director.
Yeah, no, when we're on the FM, the guy we work for is...
He's PD, he's PPD.
The premium program director?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Sure. Eddie Fury, I hear that name and it sounds so fierce, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be the name of the next hurricane.
I thought it was like, Eddie Fury is like, oh man, I used to play him on Mortal Kombat all the time.
Finish him.
That's exactly right.
Oh, we're going to get fired before the end of today's show on a holiday weekend, no lies.
Wow. I've never even met him. Seriously, I want to get up there. I used to hunt up that way, up in the thumb. Port Hope is where I hunt.
Oh, yeah. You would get along with Eddie Fury, famously.
Yeah,
Eddie's a great guy.
You'd get along with really the whole Sandlot crew. They're all awesome people, like everyone that we've encountered up there. And their traffic manager makes the best, what were those? The snacks we had the one time we went up there. She had some sort of peanut butter baked goods.
Those were good. We need to get him up to Elk Street Brewing.
The thing is, how much is an Uber from Flint to Sanilac? That's what I gotta know.
From Flint to Sandusk,
it'd be a horse-drawn carriage.
Right. You have an Amish buggy show up in the middle of Flint.
That'll be $200 English.
and you won't get there until like 3 days later. So that might be a little bit of a problem.
We'll camp here for the day.
What's the fee for this ride? We charge by the pound. Oh, I'm in trouble. Yeah.
We shall make the mortgage payment tonight.
All right. Anyway.
We're really on our game today.
Wow,
can you tell it's a holiday weekend and we've all already checked out?
Yeah, we're over-labored. Just... It's Labor Day weekend and we're all overworked.
Yeah.
We need this break. It's going to be all sessions all weekend long. Are you guys excited?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening on whenever this runs on Solid State Radio.
Not me. I got to work for 4 days straight.
We're not letting Adam out of the studio.
Oh, there's Adam again texting that he's hungry. What a jerk he is.
And he's looking at the needle. It's bouncing back and forth. He's like, my God, these guys are happy.
Yeah.
Well, it's happy hour.
He's been on the show. He knows exactly what is going on.
That's exactly what all it entails.
We love getting Eddie involved into the advice columns, which we're doing today.
We will be doing some unsolicited advice coming up in a little bit. We have a lot of stuff to do today because we've also, we've never done, at least since we've been on terrestrial radio again, we haven't done the picks.
We have
football to talk about this weekend. Yes,
football.
Week one of college football is finally upon us, and all the matchups are garbage. But we'll talk about that up later on. Like there's maybe three games of actual note, and none of the teams in Michigan are playing them.
Right.
We'll get to that towards the sometime in the last hour of the show. Of course, you said already you have a list that is trash.
Actually, I looked at it and it. We can play it, but I think it actually is going to be garbage.
It's a list that's so trash that he's not even going to make us guess it.
I might just pull the plug on this one, but we'll see.
That's impressive. That's how you know it's going to be it's going to be a real good list is trash. So we've got all that coming up.
Sure.
Didn't you say we got wedding advice coming up?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have some wedding things that we have to get into because a very dear friend of ours on this radio show is getting hitched tomorrow.
Jim, yeah.
So I kind of got to skate here because we're doing... the rehearsal dinner for that tonight.
Yeah, I don't have to stand up in this one, unlike the last wedding.
oh, he's just saying that because he shows up. I didn't communicate very well the dress code, such as it was, because I didn't think there was one. But he's also mad because he is the only person that actually had to do an intro for somebody out of the wedding party.
I practiced that, man. I was in the shower for the practice. I wasn't even taking a shower. I was practicing that one because I wanted that natural reverb.
Yeah, right? There was no rehearsal shower.
For those of you who have no clue what it is we're talking about right now, so for my wedding, and it's something we've talked about for as long as he and I have been doing a radio show together.
Yes.
That, you know, normally the bride gets the big entrance, walking down the aisle and all that. That's, you know, it's her day.
The groom kind of sneaks in through the back.
The groom's already expected to be up there when people are getting seated. Like, yeah. So you're just already there. And that's just not my style. I, too, I'm a performer by trade, man. It's what I do. That was never going to suffice. And we had talked about from the time you and I did our first show together, I think it was, that I was going to come walking down the aisle. There was going to be just lights and an introduction, smoke going off, and, you know, Ted Nugent's Stranglehold was going to be coming out over the speakers, and Adam was going to introduce me, ladies and gentlemen, get ready.
Yeah, that's right.
And
you came down like we were announced for a WWE event.
That was always the idea. It's like somewhere between a walk-up in Major League Baseball and, you know, coming in WWE style. Here for it. This is what I wanted from the jump. And somehow, of all the ridiculous things that we talked about years ago when Rachel and I first started talking about getting hitched, this is the one that she actually let me do. I didn't get the smoke machine or the spotlight or anything, but I did get to run down the aisle high-fiving people, and Adam did give the introduction of a lifetime.
I did.
Well, and you talked about the dress code. That's how we started talking about this whole thing, and you were like,
a dress code for months. I'm like, so what are we wearing? I'm like, I don't know. I just wear whatever. And then, what are we wearing, Sean? I don't know. I mean, talk to so-and-so. And then finally, I showed up and looking pretty good. Nice blue shirt. Everybody else is wearing red.
Yeah, the whole wedding party is wearing red except for Adam's wearing blue. And then I get a text message 15 minutes before the wedding was supposed to start.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, I don't know if you left your house. Now, listeners from Santa Lake Broadcasting, I live 30 minutes from the studio.
Yeah, he's on his way. He's about 10 minutes from the place, not near his house.
In the parking lot. 15 minutes. Because who comes to a wedding that starts at 2 at 1:59? You got to find a place to park.
You'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah, you know.
To be fair, most people are probably expecting that I was going to do that exact thing. Thankfully, I wasn't the one who was almost late to the ceremony.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm talking to Jim, and I'm like, are you wearing a tie? No, I'm not wearing a tie. Okay, then I'm not going to wear a tie. Everybody else is wearing a tie. Jim's like, hang on a second. Comes back with a tie.
Yeah. And then he's like, have you left home yet? I need to borrow a tie. Yes, I can give you my belt. I can make my belt into a tie. Like, I've left home. I don't know I've got 75 ties at home.
Yeah,
But I'm not going to make it to the wedding in time if I go back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The ceremony will be over. You're going to be a little late for you, man.
So, all right, so I took a shot of whiskey, and I took care of it. I did my job.
We all did a pre-wedding shot of whiskey.
Yes, we did.
It was everything that I could have ever hoped it would be, and Rachel is happy with it, too.
Yes.
And that's amazing, considering that, you know, I feared, oh, I'm going to be going so over the top. She's going to hate every bit of this. My family's going to hate every bit of this. Like, no one's going to be, well, ready for any of this, because you're never really ready for the groom to make a dramatic entrance like that. And no one's really ready for Wes Immel, the Right Reverend Wesley Immel, to go and start making a speech at a wedding.
Yeah.
And officiating in the way that he does, which we haven't brought him on this show yet. That's going to happen at some point. But a guy much like us who has even less of a filter than we do, but it was the most us thing I could have possibly imagined. But we have wedding stories not so much wedding stories, but wedding traditions, considering that we cast most of them aside.
Yes.
We are going to talk about coming up wedding traditions that need to go by the wayside.
Oh, I've got a few in my pocket.
I do as well. Stick around. It is happy hour. We'll be back right after this. It is happy hour. That's Adam Harahawk. He's Drew Duffney. I'm Sean Cantwell. And we had started talking in the last segment about weddings because a good friend of this show that we have brought onto the FM, I do believe, Lapeer Main Street manager, James Tiberius Ault, he's getting married tomorrow.
Woo! Good luck, Jim.
Are you sure? I am at this program.
Is Jim sure? I'm reaching out to him if he's listening.
Oh, no. Yeah, I had, for my first wedding, I had Drew as my best man, and we're standing there waiting for my blushing bride to come out and just, you know, we can leave, man.
Yeah, we're only in Fostoria. I can have you to M15 in like 10 minutes. That's the quickest way out of town. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure there were multiple people doing that for Rachel when I got married, including the Reverend.
Yeah.
Like, Wes is like, I've still got the car running. It's not too late. You can
that
get out of
this. That was out of jealousy, though. Your wife is lovable. Like, everyone would be lucky to have your wife.
Indeed.
Like, we're jealous of
and
you.
And I'm the one who got her. So.
I know it. Yeah. You're like, look at the twinkle in his eye. Yeah. It's like the love was just started yesterday.
Oh, no. Those two were made for each other.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
That's right.
Indeed. But in the spirit of weddings and traditions, as someone who had a wedding that basically upended all of the traditions and replaced them with WWE intros and the Comedy Central roast of Sean Cantwell.
And somebody who has DJ'd quite a few weddings.
I say, you've DJ'd a few of these things.
At least a dozen.
And you've been the host of two of them.
Yeah. I've been the groom for two of them.
So far.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've been best men. I've been groomed. I'm standing up in one tomorrow. I've crashed a couple weddings. So.
Haven't we all?
There was a wedding in Oakville, Ontario, where I asked the bride for her phone number.
Did you get the phone number?
No, I did not. But it was funny.
I told the bride of a friend of mine, too bad he got to you first, because I was next in line. In the church. There's that. So what do you got for us, Chester?
So I have a list over here. Outdated wedding traditions people really need to stop doing at their weddings.
Oh, this is a huge list if I had my way.
How long is this segment? Because I've got one addition that was just brought to me yesterday.
No, okay. Sean, take this away and we'll help you out wherever we can.
Walking down the aisle. So traditionally, a father walks his daughter down the aisle before handing her over to her future husband. At this point, the father is relieved of all duties and the wife is now the husband's responsibility. And we all know all the things that go along with that. We didn't do that for ours. Like Rachel's dad met her at the steps going up, helped her up the steps of the
Pix Theater
up to the stage of the Pix.
Yeah,
but didn't like walk her down the aisle in the traditional sense. Like there wasn't.
Okay, I'm gonna say right now that should stay. That should stay because any father who has had a daughter has thought about that time. It's a special moment, especially like the daddy-daughter dance. If that's in there, that definitely needs to stay. So,
okay, well, let's flip the script.
Sure.
That we're in a time to where maybe it's my two moms.
Sure.
You always know who your mom is. You don't always know who your dad is. How is it fair in a ceremonial circumstance to where might be my two moms? Then he walks them down the aisle.
Oh, then
or what if
they have to fight to the death for it? Is that how it works?
Or let's get it on.
What if dad is a Vietnam vet? Is he going to wheel her down the aisle?
Yes, absolutely. You
know in some cases, maybe.
That would make YouTube right there. That would make TikTok.
You'd go viral for that. You absolutely would. But
at my wedding, it was her because his dad, her dad was gone at that time. It was her eldest son that walked her down.
Right.
It's just kind of.
Well, the counterpoint to that is, and I know a lot of women that absolutely feel this way, like, it feels like it's like my dad's, like, transferring ownership to my husband, like, I'm not your property. Like, and a lot of women who feel that way, and we didn't want that to come across that way, you know?
That is the origin of
that
the
is absolutely
tradition.
The origin, and that's but still the way it kind of reinforces it
here's
still.
My stipulation to that.
Sure.
If the groom asked the father for his daughter's hand in marriage in a formal way, like used to be back in the day, okay, cool in the gang, dad can walk the bride down the aisle. But if it was some couple who had their first kiss at a sunset in a cornfield, right? And they're like, you're the love of my life. My heart goes out to you. And they decided to get married without, you know, the kid actually going to the dad, like old school ways, and saying, hey, I'm so-and-so, I met your daughter here, and I'd like to marry her. I'm asking for your daughter's hand in marriage.
Sure.
If you're not going through the full traditional thing, I think some of these traditions, no different than what Sean said, need to kind of go out the window.
Absolutely, and that's the whole point of this segment.
That is another thing that comes up, by the way, is the asking the father of the bride for permission, doing the formal, that sort of thing. That is another one that comes up, because also, like, it's you're not your dad's property. That's not how this works.
No.
I didn't ask anybody. I didn't ask anybody for permission to do anything. I'm more the just beg forgiveness than ask permission.
So much truth to that. So, that's the Irish in
you. That's why at his wedding he got peeking over his shoulders. Like, looking for her father. Like, is this cool? oh, that's a new gun. Where'd you get that?
Yeah. Is that a sarcophagus behind us? Where am I going?
Oh, wow. That's a shiny gun. But, I mean, yeah, basically, when we really get down to the nuts and bolts of any of these, it's going to be on a wedding by wedding basis. As far as a whole, the bride being walked on by her father or a mother or an eldest son, I think it shows a tie-in with her family joining with yours.
I just feel like it just needs to go, because it's too much. Like, you know, you're soon to be bride's own damn person.
Yeah. No, there is that, but it's also,
if that's the case, she shouldn't be wearing a white dress.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, Drew.
That's our anyway, Drew.
Speaking of dresses, that is the next thing that comes up, the whole bad luck to see the dress thing.
Yeah, that one is stupid, especially since I don't know the percentage, so I'm just going to make it up a percentage. 99.9% of couples live together before they get married. So the dress is somewhere in the house.
Exactly. That was the case with us. We'd lived together for a couple years before we got hitched. So And I'd seen her, you know, that morning before the wedding. Like, it's not this huge thing where, oh my God, you can't see her until she walks down the aisle because of whatever superstition. That wasn't a thing for us. The bouquet toss, and also a sidecar to that, the garter thing.
Oh, that has got to go. As a former wedding DJ and anybody who has been having to suffer in, let's get all the single guys up here. Let's bring all the single guys. And then you got every spinster aunt going, oh, Adam's single. Let's get him up there. And
you can almost, you know, queue up, you know exactly when your head to hit single ladies.
Okay.
Yeah. But then also awkward. It's like, then all of a sudden, okay, here we go. Here he's going to tear off a piece of his bride's underwear and throw it to you, ravenous wolves.
Right.
And that's
this is where we queue up Joe Cocker's You Can Leave Your Hat On. Like, this is just, I'm sorry, this is a weird thing for all parties involved. Yes. Okay. That could totally go away.
Yeah.
I worked at a men's clothing store. We rented tuxedos for weddings and sold suits. Yeah. And I can tell you, I had a very, very good customer who came in to do his wedding with us. He got his wedding suit. The men got their tuxedos for rental. And he said, now, I've been to a number of weddings. This is not what he said. I paused there. And garters are elastic. I've caught two of them.
Yep.
Okay.
And still hasn't been married.
One with my teeth.
Yeah, that myth is bad.
Yeah.
but that said, he said, could you measure my wife's leg for her garter? And I responded to him by name, and I said, it's your wife, bro. I can give you my tape measure. He said, no, I trust you more than anybody else.
He's got a fetish. He's like,
weird. And I'm like,
this is just something that he's just really
into. His tie has got like upside down pineapple on it.
This is elastic. And I'm like, how is this a thing? But apparently there was a thing. I just felt uncomfortable doing that. So yes, shooting of the garter or throwing of the bouquet should go away. Sean said, I've caught two of them and I'm still not married.
Well, also the bouquet thing, it just really, I mean, as a DJ, I would say, okay, we're going to throw out the bouquet, and I make the joke, no punching, no scratching, no. But that's basically saying that all these women up here are just desperate to get married, that they would actually inflict bodily harm on somebody else. It's stupid. stupid.
It's a dumb thing.
I don't like it, and I don't like the whole thing where the bride has got to sit in a chair and everybody's got to kind of gawk at this guy going around for a. Yeah, you know, this is the last time you're gonna see her leg. No, it's not.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, and really,
she's on Instagram in a bikini all the time.
Welcome to social media.
Yeah. Right.
So, in a galactic kind of way, have we zigzagged around all the traditions we want to get rid of?
No, not all of them. Oh, no, there's plenty more. Yeah, so, useless wedding favors. Weddings are costly on their own, and people throw in unnecessary expenses like wedding favors, like most party favors. Wedding favors are basically a collection of items that end up in the trash or at Goodwill sooner or later.
Yes.
Except mine were shot glasses for everybody, and I'm pretty sure...
Which I used last week.
I'm pretty sure no one's going to be retiring their shot glasses in my wedding party anytime soon.
I think one got broke, but not mine, but I think somebody broke theirs, but...
Yeah, that I guess
it happens.
I can tell you,
I have a monogrammed razor case. Ooh, I have a monogrammed flask. I have a monogrammed mug. I feel like that place in the mall
for Forbidden Treasure, or not Forbidden Treasure.
No,
that sounds like a completely different store altogether. What the Things Remembered?
Things Remembered. That's Things Remembered. I was going to say yes. Forever You, but yeah, it was Things Remembered.
Forever 21.
I keep naming off stores so you remember what it actually is.
I know. That's the thing. We were talking about sports, and that was what I was saying. Yeah. 27 to 40?
Yeah.
That's what I got my Tinder set at. But Things Remembered. I mean, I've got so much monogram stuff from all the weddings that I was in, and that's real.
We'll pick this back up after the news. Stick around. Nick Lean's got your local headlines after ABC News covers the world at 6 o'clock on WMIC AM and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. It's happy hour. Stick around. Happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Campbell. That's Drew Duffney. And we were talking before the break here about wedding traditions that need to die.
Keep reading on. I mean, we talk about some like some useful things, but I mean, there's got to be something in there that has got to go.
There probably is. The next one, cake smashing. We talked about this a little bit on the other day on the Wednesday show.
Cake smashing is so stupid, so irresponsible. The idea is it's irresponsible on so many levels. Happy couple cuts a cake and they feed each other a couple cake, and then it just when did this start? They shove the cake into each other's face.
So it was humor, because back in the day, you would spend tremendous amounts of money polishing yourself.
Still
up.
Do. In fact, more money.
Yeah, but again,
yeah,
no different than some of the topics we've had on this week's show.
Yes.
Everyone is sensitive now.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just spent $180 to have my eyeliner done and my lipstick on and this blush and this rouge and all the Botox, and you just smashed cake frosting into it.
I'm starting to see where Drew's coming from. The entire, the service, everything else is all pomp and circumstance. Then you have that one moment where
humorous,
it's of levity.
Right. Take a deep breath. The party's over. We got a couple of glasses of champagne into us. We already hugged Aunt Gertrude. She's gone home because she don't like to party. Let's smash some cake.
Smash some cake and smash that bar. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who on there don't like the whole cake smashing thing. We had a whole letter that we wrote, how are you doing, read about somebody who hated the whole cake smashing idea, told her fiance, don't smash cake in my face. Please don't smash the cake in my face. Well, he did it.
That's what I was going to say. I hope to God in every prayer that I've ever said that he did it.
And well, then she left, got an Uber, left, and now I think the wedding got annulled.
He's better off then. Okay, because if she doesn't have that moment of humility of, you did this, you embarrassed me in front of my whole family. Well, guess what? Maybe your whole family felt like you needed to lighten up a little bit.
Well,
that's kind of an awful way to go about it. Like, in the case where we had talked about the story that we talked about the other day, it was her mom had pushed her face first into a cake at her
17th birthday
party in front of, and embarrassed her in front of all her friends. Like, so she's kind of got, and now the two of the biggest moments of her life are people just shoving cake in her face and embarrassing her. Like, I feel like the bride has a right to not have that, have to deal with that on their wedding day.
Yeah. Man. Okay. So let's spin it around.
Also, it's a wasted, good, perfectly good cake, and Rachel would have killed me if I would have even thought about wasting cake from Bucilli's in such a way. She would murder me.
Okay.
And she'd be right. She'd be justified. They'd probably, she would get, no jury in the world would convict her.
Well, the performer that you're at, you are. You yes. could have just said, all right, honey, open wide, and jammed a whole piece into her mouth. She wouldn't have choked. She'd have, you know, eventually, like, it would have been uncomfortable for a minute.
The bride a Heimlich maneuver. Yeah.
But
we were performing in so many other ways over the course of this thing that that really wasn't necessary, yeah. though.
But that's what I mean. So let's just say in the scenario that you're talking about, and the girl had a traumatic experience as a child for the cake. Yes. I'm not going to take that away from her. She's got a cake phobia, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If she has a cake phobia, then that's her opportunity to say, you know what, guys? We're not going to smash cake in my face, but after we cut this cake, we're going to do the ice bucket challenge. And we're going to, you know, whatever, post it or something like that. We're still going to do something theatrical and fun. No different than you guys did. You didn't do a daddy-daughter dance or you did a daddy-daughter song.
Sure.
You know what I'm
saying? We didn't end up doing a daddy-daughter song, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Change the tradition, but still leave. Because let's face it. If you followed the rules of society today for a wedding, you would have Barbie the movie.
I'm not quite sure where he's going with that.
I can tell you that I don't think
you didn't shove
rules.
The cake in the bride's face or the groom's face because you're worried about messing up their makeup, or if you didn't walk the
father walking
the bride down the aisle
because
you were afraid of... You know, I mean, Dad's just going to sit in the pew and go, well, okay.
There goes my baby girl.
Yeah. I bought your first car. I paid for your insurance. You want to be independent, but who are you going to call when your cell phone gets shut off?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. I mean, these are the things. This is what we're getting into because everyone wants to be independent until they need help from the government or somebody else.
Sure.
You know.
But there's a difference between, you know, being independent and having help from people and treating people like cattle.
True. Oh.
There's a big difference between these two things, Drew.
So if the daddy shouldn't walk the bride down the aisle, should there be a daddy-daughter dance?
No, there shouldn't. That's actually, it's funny you say that, because that's the next thing I was going to get to is the dances. The first dance, the daddy-daughter dance, the dollar dances. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all of them.
You know,
I agree with the dollar dance. That's kind of
dollar
weird.
Dance is
that's
tacky.
Just weird.
That's just tacky.
It's a little bit tacky, and it's also kind of like
basically, okay. Here we just got married. Let's dance with a bunch of other people for money. Yay!
Yeah,
right.
That should.
I feel
all
like
be
there's a term for that.
Bachelor party and bachelorette party. That's what goes on in those two things.
Yeah,
sure. But like also, it's the first dance. Everyone just stares at you while you're dancing awkwardly. Like.
Yeah, that's never going away.
Yeah,
that's
well, it did at our wedding because you know we did instead. We did a first song because we're musicians. Yeah. It's kind of our thing. Yeah. So we got up on stage and performed a song and ended up being I think Tennessee Whiskey is what it was.
Yep. Yeah, it was.
It felt more like us because like we're not dancers. We hate dancing. We don't, and we're both rather when we're not on stage, kind of awkward people.
Yes.
No. The rest of the crowd may have wanted to watch the awkwardness, but we were also weren't going to give them the satisfaction of that. So
there is that. But I will tell you from the DJ standpoint that the bride and groom dance is a time-honored tradition, but also the daddy-daughter dance will bring out the hankies.
Oh, it sure
people
will.
Love that stuff.
We actually wanted to do, and we were kind of bummed that we didn't get to make it happen, you know, time constraints and getting together to learn songs about, like, because Rach's dad is also a guitar player.
Like,
we wanted to actually do a daddy daughter song at one point and then
that'd be cool.
To get a song together, make it happen.
I don't know why you didn't know about that. That's why I brought it up.
I think we've talked about it on the show before.
Sometimes Sean talks and I just don't really listen. But I mean, that would have been great.
And we talk and Sean doesn't listen. It's mutual.
No.
Do you hear that, Adam?
I
hear a breeze over in the corner or something.
I always listen to both of you. I listen to you when you don't even know I'm listening. And then I call in and leave voicemail.
So what's next?
The next one would be Oh, there's so many that I didn't realize were things. Flash mob dance party. Yeah, no.
Oh, that's got to go. That's a new one. That must be just, yeah, it's dumb.
When the wedding party does a grand entrance into the reception, especially when they dance, it's always awkward. I hate watching it. I hate being a part of it. Now, there was a couple exceptions to this. Like, Rachel stood up in a wedding after ours this summer, and they had their people come in and do kind of entrances and things. One of the bridesmaids tossed a beer over to the person, to the groomsman that she was walking down with. He catches it, opens it, drinks it. Okay. The other gets down on the presents her with a beer, and she cracks it open and drinks it. Like, a lot of really cool stuff like that. And then in our case, we sent one of our friends in ahead of us just to mess with everybody.
Yeah.
And then we came in afterwards.
I mean, you made it your own.
But there
is a one thing where it's like every wedding I've been to, you don't announce the whole damn wedding party. You just announce the bride and groom. And I was DJing a gig at the Holiday Inn Express over in Grand Blanc, and I just introduced the bride and groom. And one of the quote-unquote heads over at Holiday Inn, she said, "You're supposed to announce the whole wedding party." I said, "I've never been to a wedding where I had to announce the entire party, but you know what? You do you."
Right. I think I know what I'm doing here. They paid me to do this, so let me do...
The check cleared, so I think I'm good.
Exactly. We probably got time for one more of these, because we're going to have to hit another break coming up here in a sec.
Can I tell you one quick story of the same wedding? I played the uncensored version of My Humps by Black Eyed Peas, and an older lady comes out, "I can't believe you would play such filth. You should be ashamed." I said, "I know. I don't like this song either. Then why'd you play it?" "Because the bride wanted it." "You mean my niece?" "Yeah. Yeah, your niece a..." Yeah, true story.
Wow.
Hands to God. Yeah, the niece
Welcome
wanted
it. Welcome to Flint.
Yeah, the niece wanted it. And, you know, who's ever paid me money, that's what I'm playing.
Exactly. Them's the rules, man. So one more here, and it really just... We'll tie these all together. The man of honor and best woman, and having a wedding party at all. Like, these are both things that came up.
Oh, I think that's... That is a cool way of somebody saying to a friend, a brother, or something, "I want you standing up with me while I do this."
Right. Like the person who said this sounds like this person's a lot of fun at parties. "Playing a social hierarchy game of selection for the privilege, quote unquote, of paying for an uncomfortable outfit and being someone's unpaid assistant is outdated. I didn't have a wedding party and I would never be in one again either."
Well, you talked about paying for the attire. I had someone contact me yesterday, and they want to do a theatrical wedding. It's no secret, those of you that listen to Happy Hour or Blarney Hour over the weeks, I did at one time work in the formal wear industry. And my first job outside of picking strawberries was I worked for a catering company. So as far as weddings, I haven't been in as many as I've attended.
Sure.
Working and different things like that. And, okay, you don't want to wear a tuxedo. You don't want to wear a tie. The bride doesn't necessarily want to wear a long dress with a train. Maybe she wants to have a less formal dress. I get all of that. You want an outdoor wedding? I get that. Okay? I'm in support
of
all of those.
Don't do an outdoor wedding.
Well, even though. Okay, even though. Because
you can
always get... In
Michigan, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, but it's like having an open house. You can always do those things in tents. What I don't support, one of the current themes, barn weddings. Okay, I'm not saying don't have your wedding in a barn. I'm saying don't pay someone $6,000 to rent their barn.
You are watching the wedding industry in a nutshell. It's not just a barn. It's the barn people know that they can rent their stuff out for a wedding, so they jack up the price.
Right.
I had my first wedding as a Hawaiian-style wedding, so it was outside. So
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
I was the best man, and I got bought a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, you did.
I didn't have to rent a tux.
Vegas-oriented Hawaiian shirt. But
cards and dice
on it. We wanted Port-a-Johns. Long story short, we wanted Port-a-Johns. We called the place. We said, "We want Port-a-Johns. We can do this for you." We told them it was for a wedding. They're like, "Oh, well, then you're going to want the wedding ones." And they jacked the price up 3 times the amount. I was like, "Why?" "Because they're white."
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so They do. They increase the price for weddings. And I got contacted, no different than what I said earlier on, from a friend. And he basically said, my son wants to have a medieval wedding.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you know where we can get suited up for that? And that's why I wanted to reach out to one of our local sponsors.
A blacksmith?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, who has chainmail and, you know, that sort of thing. So can we just get rid of the theatrical weddings? I mean, you can go to Disneyland and you can dress up as Marvel characters, or you can have a Smurf wedding. Can we just get rid of all that? I don't care if you don't want to wear a tux. If you want to wear jeans and a t-shirt, or you want to have a sports theme wedding, like if everyone wants to wear a Red Wings jersey, or everyone wants to
wear a Lions shirt. Adam didn't actually do that for his wedding.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
But the wife said, no, that is absolutely not happening.
Yeah, you know what? If I was to ever get married, you guys can agree to the fact that I would just say, okay, you guys get together and decide what you want to wear. Because I'm not going to make the decision. If y'all want to wear different sports jerseys, cool in the gang. If y'all want to wear dress shirts, cool in the gang. It's not about what you're wearing, because at the end of the day, after we get married, nobody's going to talk about how the cake tasted or what you're wearing. After the wedding, they're going to say, man, didn't they look happy
together?
Didn't
the DJ suck?
Yeah, exactly. No, they're not even going to think about that.
They might, however, think about the food. They will remember the food.
Yeah.
You can't skimp on the food.
A lot of people will say, oh, that food was terrible.
Yeah, and if they paid that much money to get dressed up, you better have air conditioning if it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody wants to sweat 100%, in a corset.
Yes.
Or nobody wants to sweat in a suit.
Nobody wants this.
Oh, yeah.
But who cares about weddings? This is Memorial Day. All we care about is work.
Labor Day.
It's Labor Day week. You don't even know what weekend it is, do you, Drew?
Well, that's because I remember work. It's memory of work. I blended two holidays together.
It's Memorial Labor of July. Let's do this.
Cram all the summer holidays together. There you go. I like it. We got to hit a break, though. Stick around. John McMurray's got your weather forecast coming up next.
Hi, John.
Happy hour. Here at WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM, the voice of the thumb, back after this. Stick around. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. There's Drew Duffney. I'm Sean Cantwell. And here on this Labor Day weekend, we'd be remiss if we didn't do our favorite bit of the whole week here, Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice.
Oh, man.
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and I think we give better advice than any actual advice-giving person could do. Let's dive in, shall we?
Yes.
Dear, oh God, not these two. Oh, wait, Drew's with him? Oh, sweet Jesus. My boyfriend is a kind, caring, loving man, and I'm mostly satisfied with our relationship. His main hobby is the online game StarCraft, and he spends maybe 10 to 15 hours a week on it, usually a game each evening. The problem is that if he loses a game, it can color his mood for days. There are usually like 2 to 3 days a month where he's down in the dumps because of this. I don't resent the time he spends on the game, nor do I think it's wrong for him to enjoy it. But I don't like how much it hurts him when it goes poorly, and I really don't know how to help him. And I guess deep down, I don't think it's healthy to find a video game this important to self-esteem. How can I help him?
I mean, him playing a game for that's not a problem. He's just kind of like relaxing from work and everything else. But the fact that if he loses, he just becomes an a-hole. That is a real
problem. Doesn't sound like
it
necessarily does that, but it says just he gets depressed.
Yeah, depressed, but yeah.
Get the drill.
Get the drill. Give him another toy to play with as opposed to a controller.
Well, that's the thing. When you're playing a game, right, if you don't win, and take it from a degenerate gambler like myself. If you don't win, you walk away depressed and you're thinking, I'm never going to drink again. But in reality, it wasn't the alcohol that caused you the depression, it was the fact that you lost. In your perception or your mind, you're a loser. Whether it's a video game, whether it's a football game, I'm sure if you ask pro athletes when they lost a game, they probably have the same detrimental effect, and there's nothing that a football player, a baseball player, a soccer player's wife could say the same thing.
Yep.
You're still a loser in your own mind. You get the drill? Seriously. It's half gun, half man part.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No one can feel feminine with a drill in their hand.
Nobody's about feminine necessarily.
That's what You know, if she wants to support him, give him a honey-do list. Say, look, hold off the video games. I know you had a rough night last night. Hang this TV on the wall. Hang a picture on the wall. Get the drill.
I like that Drew's response immediately, go do chores.
Yeah, that's what, you don't feel manly about yourself. Because
it's not really chores, it's accomplishing something.
Right, you can see the finished product. When you're playing a game, if you lose, you're really losing to some like 14-year-old kid who's sitting in his mom's basement who does nothing but play this game 24/7. You're gonna lose. I've got online and tried to play these games, and I'm like,
oh, I play Grand Theft Auto. I get owned by an 8-year-old.
Yeah, I can shoot the hole out of an E on a Coke can at 50 yards away with no scope. I can do it with open sights. But I somehow get on these video games, and I die in 13 seconds.
So here is where Sean is going to be hovering over the mute button, but don't worry, I'm not going to cross any lines. Your guy is playing these games, and he's feeling lost. He's feeling emasculated. You need to like kind of bolster him, maybe be a little bit more romantic with him. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't know that you necessarily need to do much of it. I mean, this is where right now the man therapy PSA that Eddie does that plays during like the Tiger baseball games is just like running through my head on a loop.
Okay.
This is just what happens. Guys, get, you know, take things like, even if it is something stupid like a video game that you're playing online, they take these losses kind of hard sometimes. As much so as you would take a loss from your favorite sports team kind of hard. Like,
sure.
It happens. Like, it's okay. He's kind of a little down in the dumps once or twice a month. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
But from this letter, it sounds like he is down in the dumps for a long, extended period of time, which is unhealthy.
Well, I mean, it sounds like... It can color as we like. It's not happening. It's happening 2-3 days a month. I'm not necessarily sure it's 2-3 days a month in a row or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it happens sometimes. I mean,
how long?
I feel like you probably would get down like that for a night if the Wings are in a playoff series and lose or something.
That's different.
That's not different at all.
No, a game's
not even
a
little bit.
That's what I mean.
If they lose in October, November, December, I'll be mad. I'll be disappointed.
If playoffs are on the line.
If they lose in the playoffs, that's, I mean, if it means a loss could mean you're no longer playing and you're not going to get the prize at the end. Yeah, that is going to be different. But, I mean, if this guy's playing StarCraft, as much as I know about that game, there is no end game. There's no trophy. There's no...
Yeah, there's no end to it. There's no finish to it.
It's basically you're feeling beaten down. You're feeling emasculated. You're feeling shame on yourself. And, first of all, you cannot... this guy just maybe needs to get into some therapy because he should not have to... judge his own self-worth on a video game.
Okay, clearly he's not Irish. I was assigned...
You're talking to the king of Irish guilt over here, Adam.
I was assigned to build cupboards for our cabin out of pallets. I had a stack of pallets, and I had to disassemble the pallets and build cupboards when I was 8. And I stepped on a nail. And my brother, who is 6 years older than me, that both of you guys have met...
Yep.
Heard the nail poke through the bottom of my foot to the top of my foot, and I cried. My mother was at work, and it was on a Saturday morning, and my father said, quit your crying, it's just a brush burn. If your ancestors would have cried when they stepped on a nail, you wouldn't be here in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Wow. The Irish don't mess around, clearly.
They wrapped my foot in a sock, and I soaked it in Dawn dish soap and water. And that was the healing of the hole in my foot from the rusty nail from the pallet.
We call that lockjaw summer.
Yes. So when you talk
the
about
summer of tetanus.
Someone who's brokenhearted from a video game,
yeah.
What can I do? Cancel your cable. Tell him to get the drill.
Yeah, exactly. Stop being such a, you know. A wimp.
Take away his ponytail holder. Tell him to cut his hair and get the drill.
Take a shower. Nobody cares about hacky sack. And you know, Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, I've been mad at a video game online players, but you shake it off.
That's the thing. You're right. Adam, you were right. And Sean, you were both right. If a video game takes over your life, you need to seek psychiatric help.
Yeah.
You need to either change your gender or get the drill. One of the two.
Get the drill.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if this is really the only thing that's getting him down, you know, getting him that much in a bad mood or whatever, I don't think it's necessarily like that. You need to go to therapy or whatever. Like, I don't think that's necessarily. I think we're building this up to be way more than it actually is. I mean, okay, maybe, yeah, it's, you don't think it's healthy to find a video game that's important to self-esteem. Maybe he does. I don't know. It sounds like he's a great partner outside of the fact that he sometimes gets depressed. There's nothing about him lashing out or treating her badly. Like, okay, go hang out with your friends. Go out to the bar or something. Let him sulk. Let him get over it without... May I suggest you go speak to a therapist about this?
Or change games and make him play The Sims, where you can build a family.
Build a family, or...
Or leave him in the swimming pool and take the ladder out.
And let him drown.
Wow, Sean! Jesus! Wow!
Let him see just how really bad of a... how bad you can be at ruining it. You think losing at StarCraft bad? You just killed the entire family in The Sims.
If we get beeped out, I don't know.
You tap into Sean's Sim portfolio. And it's just basically his Sim taking a bunch of selfies with death.
That's right. Instead of having floaties in the pond, there's a bunch of bodies in the pond. The crap are like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Sean Sim is just like John Wayne Gacy.
Is it bad by the
clown makeup and everything?
So, full disclosure, I don't actually play The Sims, but Rachel does. That's how I found out about all of this.
I have played The Sims, and I have, I might have had The Sims by the rocket inside the house, and maybe had the toddler set it off and burn the whole house down with everybody in it. But I mean, that's all speculation.
That doesn't sound like speculation at all, sir. But
so our advice is either change games or get the drill.
Psychiatric
help isn't going to help him.
Well, I mean,
I don't think he needs psychiatric help.
Maybe I'm reading it, and
you guys are reading a lot into this.
I'm the one who suggested psychiatric help because maybe I'm reading too much in the letter. It sounded like he would lose a game and just be like despondent for like a couple of days.
Not despondent, just in a generally bad, not a good mood. Like he just got depressed, not like despondent. Like there's a difference between these things. Not saying the man's literally standing on the roof of their house, like wanting to end it all over StarCraft.
Take me now, Jesus!
Like that's not what's going on here.
I'm only level 92. Take me now. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's like a long period of time where he's just like he can't eat, can't sleep.
He's not eating or sleeping. Even he's just not. You know.
Listen, honey, if you want our advice and you want help, let me give you my number.
Yeah. I don't care about StarCraft. He can be over there playing the video game. I'll play.
He can be depressed. I'm on happy hour like 5 days a week. I'm as happy as they come.
See, this is the difference between me and these two. Like we immediately, we have to, much like the woman in question here, the letter writer, like, we have to fix this guy. There's clearly something wrong with him, and we're not going to stop badgering him until we get to the root of it. Whereas I'm the guy, like, I just want to be left alone. Just leave me alone. Back off. Let me have my little pity party for a minute, and then I'll get over it, and life will be fine.
I don't think that's what she's talking about.
I look at her as a hostage, and I'm like, let's remove her from the situation.
She can remove herself from the situation. Go out. Go to the bar. Have some drinks with your friends or whatever.
Hey, yeah. Baby, the last video game I played was Tetris. Come on. Let's go.
Let's see where my piece fits.
Yeah. Boom. Dun, 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 dun.
It's always got to be one extreme or another with these two. It does, I swear.
My last game was Super Mario Brothers. Dun, 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 dun.
That's right. Always going after the queen. We're going to eat the mushrooms before I get there.
The princess. Come on, man.
Yeah. The queen's not. Well, I guess.
You don't like this idea because really. They just like crush a bunch of Goombas.
They were called Goombas. Fight me on this.
No, they were. He's right.
It's a me, Mario. Let's kill all the Goombas. Wait, what? Can I read that again?
Hey, you wore overalls and wore a mustache like that hedgehog guy.
Yeah. Hedgehog did not wear any clothes whatsoever.
That's not true. He wore shoes.
Oh, jeez, he did. Yeah, he got me on the red and white sneakers,
Yeah.
I forgot about that,
I missed that show.
I feel like now I need to apologize. Like, it was a show, too. It was a cartoon.
Well, they're all of our shows.
So I guess we got to apologize to Mario, Sonic, like anyone who might have been tuning into this segment of this show as we just turn into ADHD theater yet again. I don't know how we're qualified to give advice to anybody at this point. I really don't.
I know, right? It started out like, my boyfriend is just being detached. We're like, Sonic did not wear any shoes.
Bum, bum, ba-dum.
By the way, Zelda was not the lead guy. Zelda was the one they were trying to save. Anyway, back after this.
And it turns out it was a better superhero thing than Link was. Anyway, we got to hit a break. When we come back, we got to get picks in, and we have probably a laundry list of people to apologize to. Stick around. It is Happy Hour on the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC AM 660. Stick around. He's Adam Herhuck. I'm Sean Campbell. That's Drew Duffy. As we get ready to wrap this thing up for the week.
Woohoo!
And get on out of here for our Labor Day weekend and enjoy all the, well, in my case, it's mostly going to be wedding related things. So.
Yes.
But still much, much fun will be had and much partying will be done.
I am going to Earth Beats and Eats. I'm getting ready to go see Stone Clover.
I'm jealous.
I want to go. That is pretty cool.
I go every year and this year I might miss out on it unless I'm able to go Monday.
I mean, I invited you.
I'm standing up in a wedding tomorrow, Drew.
You and responsibilities.
And I'm playing a gig on Sunday.
When I grow up, I want to be like you.
Here's the thing, though, Drew, is you can't grow up. That's the key.
I can grow out.
But with all that in mind, we do have, it is finally football season has arrived.
Football.
And
football.
Not nearly soon enough, quite frankly. And NFL obviously doesn't kick off till next week when the Lions open their season at Arrowhead Stadium on Thursday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, which you'll be able to hear that game on our sister station. I believe it's going to be on Country 92.5 because I think Tigers will still be running on TGV next week. Someone will tell me I'm wrong before the end of this broadcast. But we do have college football going on. It technically started last week, but there wasn't a single game worth talking about. And this week, that's only marginally more the case. So with that in mind, I suppose it's about time we introduce Sandusky to the picks.
Yes.
Music, please, Maestro. Gotta love it. Love the music.
I can feel that cold air snapping on your neck. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You really can. It just puts you in a time and place, man, doesn't it?
Yep.
So we've got a couple games we have to address this week. Looking down the schedule.
Yeah, it's laughable.
It really, truly is.
Do we have any ranked games, two ranked teams together? I'm not seeing any.
So far not seeing any. So Notre Dame play, they lost there. They beat Navy by a million points. TCU's favored by 20. Oklahoma's favored by 35.5. Iowa's favored by 23.5 over Utah State, which is impressive because Iowa has no offense, so I don't know how they're going to pull that off. Ohio State's favored by 30 against Indiana, which is the only Big Ten matchup between two Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
But Indiana's not ranked at all, and OSU's favored by 30. Wisconsin's favored by 28. Notre Dame playing Tennessee State. They didn't even give odds for that because it's so...
Which game? Alabama? Okay. Which one did you just say?
Yeah, Notre Dame and Alabama.
Oh, okay,
not Alabama. Notre Dame and Tennessee State.
Okay, yeah.
So happy cheerleaders on every ranked team available.
Right. I do have a couple games that are actually within a touchdown of each other, though. This is... we have exactly three matchups that aren't terrible that don't involve a Michigan team of some sort.
What?
Exactly three of them. So let's dive in, shall we?
Yeah.
The first being North Carolina and South Carolina. North Carolina comes in ranked 21st in the nation. South Carolina is unranked. It's the Duke's Mayo Classic, apparently. And North Carolina, despite being a ranked team, is only favored by 2.5 over the Gamecocks. So with that in mind, Drew Duffney on the pick.
I'm saying South Carolina because I'm pretty sure a hurricane just came into North Carolina.
I think it rolled through both, actually, but...
Really? Well, if it's the Mayo Classic, I'm still taking the slide. I'm taking South.
South Carolina it is. All right. Adam on the pick.
South Carolina, because I have no investment in either team, and I just wanted to be able to say on the air, Gamecock.
The only thing that ever came good out of North Carolina is Sundrop.
Did Sundrop come out of North Carolina?
It most certainly did.
Yeah.
You said good, though. I'm not. I don't know if I'd argue that Sundrop is good.
Sundrop is a good soda pop.
I mean, as long as it's with vodka and peach tree.
Okay, so you've got to add booze to actually make it good. Okay, that's fair.
It's like rock and rye.
Fair enough.
Lord have mercy.
So, yeah. I mean, South Carolina has a fairly established QB at this point in Spencer Rattler, but North Carolina, they've got a Heisman potential candidate in Drake May. They had a 9-1 start last season, kind of finished the season a bit shaky, but expectations are running rather high for the Tar Heels. Give me North Carolina.
Yeah, take the QB with 2 one-syllable names. Yeah. His parents didn't even have high hopes for him.
Wow. Because you apologize to Drake May. Moving on.
Here is John Doe.
South Alabama taking on 24th-ranked Tulane. Tulane is only favored by 6.5 against... I don't even know what South Alabama's team is. I'm not even going to lie to you. But this is the first time Tulane has ever had a top 25 preseason ranking in their history. Michael Pratt, the star QB, hoping to lead the Green Wave to an early solid start against the South Alabama Jaguars, who won 10 games last season and will return 19 starters from last year. Adam Harahuck on the pick.
I'm pretty sure that at this point, Sean is just testing us. It could be like, here is the Gryffindor Lions against these Hufflepins. Give me those teams again.
South Alabama.
The Tulane Green Wave and the South Alabama Jaguars.
Give me the Tulane Jukebox.
I apologize to this Tulane Jukebox.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm taking South Alabama, and I want to know where this game's going to be broadcast, I am going to listen in aggressively, because Bama takes football serious.
The game actually is broadcast, for what it's worth, on ESPNU, so it is actually being nationally broadcast,
for whatever
it might be worth. Then on Sunday, yes, we have college football on a Sunday, since it's right before NFL season. Number 5-ranked LSU and 8th-ranked Florida State.
2 ranked teams? Oh, here we go.
Camping World kickoff game. Sunday night, 7:30. The Tigers are favored by 2.5. Drew Duffney on the pick.
Also just had a hurricane, so no Florida for me. What's the spread?
I just told you LSU is favored by 2.5.
They're going to cover. Give me the points.
Ooh, all 2.5 of them. What a bold strategy there.
He's really going
I'm sorry. The last team had 2.5 also, and neither one of you ventured out of the cobweb.
Well, that's because 2.5 is kind of a sucker's bet.
Exactly. Adam Harahuck on the pick.
Yeah, give me the Tigers.
So what if I get it? Whiskey on you guys?
No, because I think we're all going with you on this one.
Yeah, you know what? Fine, I'll take LSU and the points too. Drew, what do you think about that? Up next.
Boring.
We have the two games that actually involve teams in this state, but both of them are kind of a joke, let's be honest.
Yeah,
Friday night,
yeah.
The Central Michigan Chippewas taking on the Michigan State Spartans. MSU is favored by 14. We'll start with our resident Wolverine fan here, Adam Harahuck, on the pick.
Oh, fire up, Chips. Come on. Central.
You're really doing this.
Yes, I am.
You are insane. And yes. When this actually happens, I'm going to hate you so much. I'm not going to speak to you at all on Tuesday. Drew Duffney.
Drew will be here. Drew, tell Adam that it's time for the picks.
Yeah. So I'm totally going for Sparty, but in my heart, I really don't want them to win because that means they're going to burn couches. And that's where I have to go pick up my truck. so that means roads are going to be closed and everything else. But go Sparty. Statins are going to beat the Chips. Hopefully they eat a lot of peyote.
Give me the Spartans and the points. Screw you, Adam. Up next, East Carolina taking on number 2 in the nation ranked Michigan. It's a noon game on Saturday. It's on Peacock, so none of our listeners will actually be able to watch it. And Michigan is favored by 36 points.
36 and a half points.
How can we have a South Carolina and a North Carolina and an East Carolina?
They got all the Carolinas.
That's a state that we don't know about, apparently.
West Carolina, what goes on there? There's no
East
football
Carolina
fields.
Pirates, apparently.
There's no fields there. It's all water.
So, Drew on the pick.
I don't like Harbaugh or Michigan, so give me whatever side of Carolina is against Michigan. So West Carolina.
Adam Hara got the pick.
Listen, everybody thinks it's going to be a cupcake walk, as
it
usually is, but Harbaugh's not going to be there because he's been suspended. And
he suspended himself.
Whatever. Khaki pants will not be in the building. It is going to be a Michigan win, but you can keep the points. I think it's actually going to be a tight game because Michigan, you lost a lot of people. You don't have your coach on there. This is going to be a win, but an embarrassing kind of win.
Well, Harbaugh should.
Adam, here's the thing. They could send out literally one of us to coach that team, and they're still going to win by a dominant margin. Give me Michigan, and you know what? Give me the points, too.
All right.
We got one more thing we got to take care of before we go. So we got some business to take care of here in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls. Happy Hour. We'd like to apologize to Eddie Fury, The Amish, Rachel, Dorothy, Forbidden Treasures, Things Remembered, Forever 21, Mario, Sonic, Tulane Jukebox, University of South Alabama, East Carolina, and West Carolina. We're sorry!
Woo!
And on that note, we're off to enjoy what's left of our holiday weekend. All being well, we'll talk to you next week. Stick around. Jesse Kelly's up after ABC News covers the world at 7 o'clock on WMIC AM and W237 EQ FM Sandusky. All being well, talk to you next week. See ya!